Our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in this house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of our Lord. Well, our Easter lilies have been removed from the sanctuary. We have eaten all of our jelly beans and our chocolate Easter bunnies. And church attendance around the globe has significantly lowered this Sunday morning. So I think it is safe to say that Easter has ended. Now, even though all the traces of Easter have disappeared around the world, the true meaning of Easter is still very much alive within us and in our hearts. We still celebrate Christ's resurrection and what all that means for our life. We still rejoice in knowing that because of Christ, we have been reconciled to God. So we're able to have an intimate and personal living relationship with God. So even though all the candy wrappers and the traces of Easter have disappeared, the effects of Easter are still very well alive within us. And they're alive within us because we know the whole story of Christ. We live in a time where we have the full story of Christ's resurrection, his crucifixion, and his ascension. But for those early disciples, there was a period of time following Jesus' death where there was real fear and uncertainty that settled in because they were unaware of Jesus' resurrection yet. There was real fear that plagued their mind as to what the Jews were going to do to them next. And there was real uncertainty that settled into their hearts regarding Christ's death and what that meant for their faith. At this point in the lives of the disciples, where our text from John picks up, the disciples are gathered together in a house. They are unaware of Jesus' resurrection. And all they know at this point is that this man who was responsible for their faith, who had been leading them and guiding them, teaching them, had died. And so I imagine that they felt as if their faith had died as well. But Jesus shows up. And he stands before them, bringing his peace and proving to them that their faith was still very much alive. He literally showed them their faith was still alive as they were able to run their fingers over the wounds on his hands and on the wound on his side, disproving any doubts that they had. And he taught them that they could believe in him. Through his action, Jesus taught them a new depth to their faith, all of which hinged upon believing in him, even when they wouldn't be able to see him any longer. And in doing so, he invited them into a living relationship with God for all eternity. And that is where I wanted us to focus this morning, on how we access our living relationship with God, how we nurture and maintain that living relationship with God. And we do that a couple of ways. One way we do that is through reading the living Word of God. And another way we do that is through prayer. And given the fact that our sermon title is Pray, Y'all, let us focus on the prayer aspect this morning. Just like you all heard in the children's sermon this morning, it is important that we communicate with God in our daily lives through prayer. It allows us to empty ourselves of any burdens that we might be carrying with us or the troubles that are plaguing our hearts. Likewise, prayer allows us to express our praise and our thanksgiving to God. But most importantly, it allows us to just be still before God. And it invites us into the living presence of God. I wanted to share with you all an interesting story this morning regarding prayer. Now, it is no secret that church attendance throughout the entire denomination is on a decline. And I think we can make an even more broad sweeping statement and just say church attendance throughout every denomination is on a decline. I had the opportunity to meet with a couple people from the Presbyterian headquarters in Louisville, Kentucky. And one of the departments that focuses on addressing the issue of the church decline is a department called Evangelism and Church Growth. And when I met this director of this department, he told me a very interesting story. He told me that every single day at 10:02, everyone in the office comes together for prayer. So every single person puts down what they are doing so that they can pray together for our denomination. They pray for all the churches that comprise our presbyteries. They pray for our presbyteries and our synods, everyone who governs our churches, and they pray for our parishioners. You may be curious as to why they do this at 10:02 every morning, which is a very specific time. And that time corresponds with the chapter and verse of Luke, which states that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out his laborers into his harvest. Now, I was shocked to hear that these high-ranking officials at the Presbyterian headquarters in Louisville, Kentucky, would stop whatever they were doing at 10:02 every single day just to come in and offer prayer. It was hard to fathom that these individuals would put their pens down and push themselves away from their desks or hang their phones up or end their business meetings early and enter into prayer with God. And it may be hard to imagine this occurring and shocking to hear it, but this is exactly what should be occurring. Prayer is one of the major ways that we access and nurture our relationship with God. So really, this should have a top priority in our lives, taking time out of our busy and hectic lives every day to stop and enter into the living presence of God so we can unburden ourselves, make our prayer requests known, offer our thanksgiving and our praise to God, and ask for God's guidance in our lives. This is how we access our living relationship with God. Now, besides the fact that this is how we enrich our relationship with God, there's another benefit to prayer that I wanted to discuss with you all this morning. And that is that it invites us into a living relationship with one another. Prayer creates a community for all of us as we let others know what we should be praying for them about, asking people to pray for us. I was down in a small lake community outside of Columbia, South Carolina, this past summer. And it was a very small lake community. But while I was there, I had the opportunity to visit a Presbyterian church in this area. And it was a fairly large church. There was probably 600 to 800 people on a Sunday morning. They had about 150 youth group students. And they had hundreds of children that went to this church. Now, this church had only begun to recently see this growth, and so they needed to build a new building. So the new building they had designed, which was solely for the children's ministry at this church, was $4.2 million. And I was shocked by this figure. But I was even more shocked when I saw how much money they had already raised for this new building. In just short 8 months, they had already met their targeted fundraising goal. And that's when they told me about their fundraiser. They had raised thousands upon thousands of dollars by having these little stickers printed, the little white oval stickers that you see on cars that will say Pawleys Island or OBX or any other tropical location. Pretty much every destination has their name or their initials printed on these white oval stickers. So this church had done the same thing. They had these little stickers printed up, and on them it said, "Pray, y'all." And they were selling like crazy. But the neatest part about this whole fundraiser was the fact whenever someone purchased one of these stickers, they signed a pledge to pray for this church, and more specifically to pray for the new building that they were building, and to pray for the children's ministry of this church. Now, I cannot tell you how many cars I saw these stickers on. I saw them all throughout the lake community. I saw them on the sides of boats out on the lake. I saw them all throughout Columbia and surrounding cities. And 2 hours outside of this community, I was still seeing these stickers that said, "Pray, y'all." So this tells us two things. One, it tells us that we need to include this as one of our own fundraisers in the near future. And two, it exemplifies the community aspect of prayer. This crafty little fundraising idea to put out "Pray, y'all" stickers and have them pledge to pray for this church had drawn this entire community together. It had invited all of these surrounding communities and cities of individuals to become part of this community through prayer. There is something very personal and intimate about making your prayer requests known and praying for one another. It invites you into another person's life, and it creates a real and authentic relationship with that person. Prayer is an important part of our faith. It is how we access and nurture our living relationship with God. It is how we maintain our relationship with God as it invites us into the presence of God. And prayer invites us into each other's lives, and it creates community for us as we pray for one another. So just like the busy church officials working at the Presbyterian headquarters in Louisville, Kentucky, prayer should be a priority in our life. Something that we stop our busy lives for. And just like this little community in South Carolina, we should be inviting others into a living relationship with us through prayer, creating a community for ourselves by praying for one another. And all of this is a wonderful segue into a new program that we'll be starting here. We will be starting a new program on Tuesday mornings called Centering Prayer. So we'll be meeting here in the sanctuary from 10:30 to 10:55. It's a time for all of us to have a designated time to come together and to pray for ourselves, to pray for one another, to pray for this community and for this church, or to just be still and silent in the presence of God. There will be more information in the coming weeks about centering prayer, and you can find that on our church website and in the bulletin so that you can plug in. But this is an opportunity for us to nurture our living relationship with God and with one another, and to just pray, y'all. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.